Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Indiana's Truth. Back with us is the one and only, the legend, Andrei Martyanov, all the way from Seattle, the center of Western Coast liberalism. Andrei, welcome back to the channel.
Hello, dear friends. Just want to remind you, if you like this video or you like what you hear, click like, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Send it to your friends. Let's grow this channel. Maybe we can finally hit it up to 100,000. That'd be a good round number for the summer. So let me know, leave some comments, and give a thumbs up. So look forward to seeing you in the next video. Cheers.
Something feels off. Same news, same noise, different day.
Maybe you're just in the wrong place, mate.
Wait, what?
Maybe you've been here before.
I was what? I am a Cossack.
Wait, I remember this. I was a merchant.
Okay, this is getting weird. I was a Russian musician.
Okay. This is NOT what I expected.
Yeah, happens to everyone.
We just moved. Moscow Connect helped with everything.
Visa, paperwork, life is sorted.
Wait, it's actually that simple?
Maybe it's not about escaping.
Maybe it's about finding where you actually belong.
No, my pleasure. Yeah. God, don't make me blush. I mean, I'm not a legend. I don't want to be.
But you are in the only city in America with a statue of Lenin. And not John Lennon.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So we're seeing in the Gulf, we're still seeing Trump batting around, not quite sure what the hell he's going to do. Still weighing the military options. What are his military options? What can the modern U.S. military, the first military in the world, as they all like to say themselves, do against little Iran?
I mean, he doesn't have real military options. He have about 2 weeks worth of the standoff weapons like FLAMs, Tomahawk Land Attack Missiles, JASSM's ERs. They were very few. They expanded them pretty fast. After that, they have to fly into airspace of Iran, which is not that small. It's a large country. He doesn't have it. Yesterday, no, 2 days ago, the chief of naval operations, he was speaking to the Congress, and he explained to those, you know, dumbasses that U.S. Navy cannot unplug Strait of Hormuz. So that's it. And you know what? They still can resume it because obviously Israel, they are puppeteers of Trump. And they got United States, and of course Trump's cowardice and complete incompetence of his administration into this pickle. But yeah, I mean, they can launch for 2 weeks, and then what else are they gonna do? The moment they enter really airspace of Iran, the F-15s and F-35s begin to fall, and then of course the whole Middle East is just on fire. So the war is lost, and the only thing they do is just what they always do: spin, you know, just procrastination, delaying, inevitable. And inevitable is what have been stated long time ago. It's over for the United States militarily because the technological paradigm shifted, the war has become different, and they prepared for the war against Iraq instead of they got Iran. It's completely a different thing.
Wait.
Keaton.
One second. But can they differentiate where Iraq is and where Iran is on a map?
Evidently, not many of them. Yeah, neocons don't. They think that what they saw this spectacle for CNN and others, against the third-rate, backward, and quite frankly incompetent Iraqi military, that they can do the same thing with the country, which is, well, four times larger in terms of population and territory, well, two and a half times to three times larger than Iraq, with the well, terrain, which is nightmarish. It is nightmarish terrain. It's not a tank terrain.
No.
So, yeah. If they think that they can squeeze themselves, whatever the force, whatever the combat brigade, combat team, or whatever, squeeze through those passes, I have a bridge to sell, cash only. I will leave the number, I mean, the address where to send that cash. So, I mean, it's total military humiliation. And now you add here, and again, Iran was able to do this because obviously they're essentially most of the NATO heavy forces, if you wish. It has been demilitarized, and especially in terms of the air defense, it is absolute humiliation and embarrassment with what have been done to, you know, U.S. and Israeli air defense, so-called air defense. And here we are. When you have such a guy as Petraeus, and he wasn't a good general. For some reason, I don't know, in U.S. Army, he was somehow admired. He married, obviously, we all know, he married very well into the daughter of the superintendent of the U.S. Military Academy. And then, for some reason, he screwed not really attractive woman.
They all tend to do that for some reason.
Yeah,
they
I know, get some but really I mean, come on. In your position, you could find a really nice-looking girl. Okay? Like,
well, look at Schwarzenegger. I mean, when he was his maid. And oh, geez, seriously?
Yeah, and so he can get 9, 10, you know, but he got like 5. It's like, dude. Respect your class. And so
well, Schwarzenegger went for a 3. I mean, come on, 5 is better than 3.
Yeah. And so as a result, the guy he wrote counterinsurgency, which is useless crap because the United States lost even that. That means he and people who surrounded him, they don't understand warfare really. And so even he comes out today and says, well, we're in the cul-de-sac. Well, how about you use the proper term? Not cul-de-sac, but the dead end. That's it. This is what it is, dead end. Because obviously incompetence, arrogance, hubris, I mean, illiteracy of the whole damn swamp from starting from the Pentagon to CIA, what have you. And so they don't even know how to govern. Forget about prosecuting the successful war. And as have been stated, I'm repeating this ad nauseam, United States doesn't have the toolkit to fight real war. And here it was, you know, they were hiding for 4 years behind the backs of the Ukrainian cannon fodder, which now is
still are.
Because they are mandating their drafting of mobilizing of women. They already started from the Kharkov Oblast. Yep. And so that tells you everything you need to know. And what can I say? They were demilitarized already there. Then we have Iran, and here we are. And the only thing Trump is capable of, and he never was anything better than that. It's, making money for his family, for his mafioso circle where he, you know, grants all those contracts or, you know, insider trading or what have you. So that's it. I mean, the country is ungovernable, essentially, and it's controlled now primarily from Israel, you know, and people begin to wake up to it, but it could be too late now anyway.
Yeah, but Israel still insists that the war with Iran isn't over. You know, the U.S. is not walking away from this, in other words.
Yeah. They will tell them, and considering the fact that they are illiterate, uncultured creeps such as Hexet, you know, the people who have no clue about anything, and they are Christian Zionists. First, they are not Christian. There is nothing Christian about them. As correctly stated, what was the name, the guy or a cinematographer, Tucker Carlson, a couple of weeks ago on his show, and he correctly stated they are not Christians. They are
heretics.
Jews wrapped into the Christian rhetoric. It has nothing to do with Christianity. They use those invocations like Jesus Christ, you know, and they're not. I mean, and so, that's what it is. And they run the United States today, essentially. And when you look attentively at Pete Hexet, he is a fanatic, basically. It's the death cult. So they don't care if, you know, and the most important thing, which I wrote about a couple days ago, it's not just about making United States, you know, going for war for Israel. It is basically removing American identity and turning it into the Israeli identity. And yep, they succeeded. They are succeeded. They bought all those cupboards. Primarily Anglo-Wasp cowards who, you know, first to go to power, essentially any kind of the political activity and power position, you have to be already partially psychopath. You know, anybody who thinks that the people do go there to, you know, serve people or do something like that, I have a bridge to sell them, again, cash only. But point is, the country is absolutely is a bust. At this stage, United States is a bust. And whatever is going to emerge, we have to wait and see. But it essentially, starting from 2014, it took 12 years to completely demolish any kind of the mythology about the United States, which many people already saw. They were warning about it. Mm-hmm. Now it is all in the clear. And not only it's ungovernable, it's obviously non-agreement capable. And as a result, we see now the symptoms are all there. And we can see the full, what is called the, you know, the health chart, if you wish. You can see it. And what can I say? It's not a pretty picture.
It's no, it's not. But yeah, here's the thing about Israel, too. And I've seen these articles in Israeli press over the years. America's dying. We need to find a new partner. No, another, a new body full of blood. And they're looking at India for some reason.
Host, yeah.
And India seems to be willing. I don't get the Indian.
Evidently they, I don't know how they will survive there. But that's the whole point. But again, at this stage, Modi, he made a critical mistake, obviously, in the sense that he embraced the whole Israeli idea.
But they gave him a medal.
Yeah.
Shiny medal.
He was hugging war criminal Netanyahu as if he's his friend, while the guy is a genocidal maniac and a loser. Israel itself is a loser. There, 2 days ago, they have 90,000, deserters now. The army is,
wow.
That's from Times of Israel. It's not me. I'm merely quoting. Their IDF is disintegrating. They are stuck in southern Lebanon, and they're literally not moving anywhere, and they've been pulverized by Hezbollah. This is everything you need to know. Listen, I mean, United States and Israel militarily have been the Dutch rudder. They were, you know, mutually masturbating each other as if they are great forces. They are not. They never were, you know, and especially Israel. They have this, Soviet Jews who came after the World War II, tough people. They were former soldiers and officers of the Great Patriotic War. Many of them have been with the military academies from the Soviet Union. So when they came, obviously they arranged this whole thing in such a way that they kicked Arabs' ass, you know, in 1967. And in 1973, despite the claims of Egypt that they somehow won something, they didn't. They have been humiliated. So, but these were different people. These were different type of warfare. And obviously, United States was helping. You cannot help, honestly, Arabs with anything. They are easily bought or rather rented. You cannot buy Arab.
Yeah, you rented.
You can only rent him. So, but that was their basically basis and still is basis of their survival there, utter corruption and maintaining the Arab neighbors into the semi-literate backward state. So Iran is completely first. Don't never say to Iranian that he's an Arab.
No.
That is just a red line. No, they are proud Asian civilization, which with an enormous cultural heritage. And so there you go. They run into this wall because those pathetic terrorists, basically, they're nothing more than SS punitive detachments. That's who they are. Sonderkommando, that's what IDF is. They thought, Americans gonna, go in and kick ass. Well, they got their ass kicked. And so we have what? Out of 17 bases, 14 completely destroyed together with air. It's a total devastation. And so we have this situation. And as a result, as I already stated, many people do not understand the significance when the chief of naval operations of the United States Navy, at some point of time, proud, you know, valiant, heroic force, you know, with incredible history. And he comes out in the, a congressional hearing 2 days ago and says, no, we cannot open it. We can only escort things all after the peace deal. You know,
when nobody's shooting, we can escort really, really well.
Yeah. When it's everything is calmed down and then you don't need to escort them to start to.
Well, I love the whole rationale for the war. We have to open the straits, which were open, and we have to make sure Iran doesn't get nukes, which it wasn't.
Yeah, and now he talks about actual very serious tasks at hand that, oh my God, how do we demine the Strait of Hormuz? And he correctly states it is a very massive, it's massive task. It's very difficult. Yeah. But of course, I mean, it's a circus. It's a circus. I mean, it's just freaking freak show.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. But and then we watch the same people that are talking about how, you know, Ukraine is not our war. This is Biden's war, and the military intelligence and everything else is coming from where?
Yeah. Well, yes, it is. And they, again, they pushed for another $400 million, which obviously is the pocket change. It's going to be primarily stolen. But still, they cannot live with this, you know. And how to say it? I will be lying if I would say that I'm not enjoying it in a very bizarre sense. Not that I want America to be humiliated. I live in this country, you know, it's my country now. I have vested interest in it to at least to be stable, prosperous, you know, peaceful country. But I mean, I warned about it for so many years, guys. You are not who you think you are. You are not even in the same league. But I mean, and here we are. And this was essentially what I was trying to basically knock on the door and tell them. But who would listen to me, you know? So, and former junior Soviet naval officer, you know, just, Petrinos, that's man, he knows how to do it. He doesn't, obviously.
What would the United States Navy have to do to become an actual fighting force with modern technology? I mean, we've seen a regional power that absolutely denied area deniability of up to 1,000 kilometers from its shoreline to the greatest navy in the world, which can't come anywhere close. I've been sunk and turned into the greatest reefs in the world.
What can the navy do to change? It depends what type of the conflict it wants to conduct. If we talk about the, God forbid, let's say conventional war in Europe, where the Atlantic shipping lanes of communications should play the role and all that. No, it's not going to be able to provide any kind of the real convoys and escorts because it will be sunk. Okay, granted that we're not going into the nuclear, which the United States will immediately escalate to the nuclear. So other than that, I mean, it's top heavy. It's overloaded with a famous proverb from the World War One. Do you want to bankrupt the country? Make a gift of it of the battleship, you know? So United States is mandated constitutionally to have 11 fat, useless, now useless floating things, which
It's mandated to have 11?
It's mandated 11.
I didn't know that.
It's mandated by the legislature. And so, look it up. And I don't remember the name of the bill, and it's mandated. They, I believe, wanted to write it into the Constitution, which tells you everything you need to know about these people. And so, the United States is going bankrupt maintaining this absolutely ineffective surface fleet. It has a decent platforms in terms of the submarines, decent. It's a world-class submarine force. But weapons-wise, I mean, it's a backward navy. Air defense, which is pathetic. We already saw how what is air defense, American air defense. In terms of strike weapons, what do they have? They have clamps and good old harpoon, which they it's subsonic with the range of, they pushed it to 500 kilometers. Well, the any surface ship of Russian Navy carrying 3M22 Zircon, it will have the targeting by the time you are 1,500 kilometers away, and it can launch at this range. And you not, this carrier battle group will not even see it. With all those E2 Hawkeyes on the, you know, furthest, you know, lines of the detection. So simple as that. So it's obsolete force. It's stuck in 1990s. It is stuck in the views of the World War II warfare. And so the first, so to speak, call was during the Prosperity Guardian operation, the Bab el-Mandeb against Houthis. And already then it was like, oh my God, we cannot, and Houthis have like, you know, ancient, you know, anti-shipping missiles and drones. Now we have, we don't have the still news about what happens with those two destroyers. Obviously, right, they are right. Covering it up. So, okay, we might say that, yeah, the whole Gerald Ford, which is now back into the dock, it's not going to go out for the next 2 years because everything will be changed in it, which is another, I don't know how many billion dollars, because it's a useless ship with the sewage system, which was designed from the Home Depot thing, you know, like, it's like, I don't know. They don't have good missiles. They don't have air defense. Essentially, they're defenseless. How they're going to fight? They want to reach their air, A2, AD, you know, anti-access and area denial zone. They can't. They will be sunk.
Well, the area denial zone here has been 1,000+ kilometers.
Yeah.
From a regional power. And by the way, for those that don't know what Andrea was saying about Zircon, Zircons are hypersonic.
Yeah, Mach 10.
So, yeah, that 1,500 kilometers, that's not a very long flight.
Yeah, it's and especially Salvo. The, listen, math never was there, but now it's literally is not there, period. And this is what is happening. How can you change it? Can you, trim it down? Of course you can. The problem, who would do it? All those contractors, all those, you know, shipyards, all the, like Newport News, you know, so all kinds of those Raytheons, and you have to come to say, you either provide us with a decent weapon or just go screw yourself, you know. No, nobody gonna do it because it is all ultimately corrupt. It is all went through the IPOs. They are all in the Wall Street, and it is all about, you know, shareholders, period. It is also about those admirals and generals who go out on and then sit on the boards of the directors of the same companies. They are interested in producing expensive, ineffective junk. It has to be very expensive because this is what gets them their bottom line, you know, and basically shareholders need to be happy. If they will kill people through that, sure, they don't care. But now, and here is the thing which they couldn't figure it out because American social doesn't know anything about war. And even the proud tradition of the U.S. Navy, they are basically have been high on their own supply so much recently that they convinced themselves that they are absolutely, undefeated, which is absolute garbage. They are essentially defenseless against the modern weapon systems. And so the problem is how you trim it, how you get it down to something which really makes complete, geopolitical and economic sense for the United States. You cannot do this with this administration. You cannot do it with any administration because they are owned. They are paid for with all those. It's utter corruption. The country is run by, I don't know how to say it. They will call it military industrial congressional media complex. They are all, you know, scratching each other backs.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure it's just their backs are scratching?
Yeah, Dutch rudder. They all do Dutch rudder, and especially media. There is no United States didn't produce even the strategist of the international repute. They don't have it. They don't have people who can grasp their realities and geopolitical realities. You look at people in the Council on Foreign Relations or the Atlantic Council. You know, you have those admirals, you have those. The only thing they do there is selling BS. You know, they are BSing people. They, you know, day in, day out about how great we are. You're not. You know, so it's just, and now that has been empirically proven in the last 12 years, and the speed with which United States declined is astonishing, considering the scale of the country. It's a large country. Yeah. So, I don't recognize the country. I remember.
What about United those States two littoral super high tech stealth destroyers that are costing about $1 billion a piece?
Yeah. Oh no, 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 not billion. 4.5 Zumwalt class.
Wow.
This is
4.5
This is,
wow.
More precisely, I believe the first one, 4.3 useless, absolutely useless thing. They want to stick on them now, this still developing this hypersonic weapon, they call it Dark Eagle.
The Black Eagle.
The size of this Dark Eagle, which was promised in the first, during first Trump administration. That,
I
mean, you can go to my blog and 2019-2020, I already then stated, no, it's not coming. It's and so they developed something. Their thing which they developed has the weight of 13 kilograms.
What? Wait a minute, what? 13 kilograms?
Hypersonic thing, 13
what
kilograms.
The hell is that?
Yeah, they call it a hypersonic weapon. A Dark Eagle. That's Dark Eagle, okay? So, 13 kilograms, that should really impress everybody. And nobody knows if it is truly hypersonic or whatever. They cannot control it. But yeah, they say that they have it. So they want to stick that thing into this platform of the Zumwalt, because there are three of them. They are absolutely useless in any normal role. And what can I say? It's a circus, it's a freak show. And I don't know, there are some admirals who believe that crap, you know. They are, it's ridiculous.
Is it just the warhead that's 13 kilograms, or the whole thing is 13 kilograms?
No, the whole thing. No, I mean, obviously, the missile itself is large. It needs to accelerate it somehow to above Mach 5. Probably they have it at Mach 5.5 or whatever, you know. So, yeah.
The very bare minimum of hypersonic.
Yeah, hypersonic, yeah. And it's 30 pounds, which is 13 kilograms. So you will be better actually with the naval cannons, you know,
like
6-inch cannon, you know. So that's pretty much it. It's less than some 152-millimeter shells, you know.
Yeah, rounds, yeah. You know? but you can. I mean, you can rent those ships out for Hollywood, make good movies out.
Yeah, right? That's exactly what it is. And you look at this, I scratch my head because. And again, listen, these are the symptoms. These are the symptoms of complete decomposition, essentially. We're not going into Europe. Europe is done. And it has to be actually at some point of time disassembled, however Russia will decide to do it. But United States, you look at this, they are dangerous because the only thing they have is obviously nuclear weapons.
Yeah,
and they so well. At least now you can see that U.S. military begins to kind of push back. Again, this chief of naval operation, when he was explaining to these morons from U.S. Congress what's going to happen, okay, that U.S. Navy has no capability to do that. That's what he said. We have no capability to do a capacity too. You know, so and they were like, "Oh my God, but these are the people." So when I say that I wrote my latest book it was published 2 years ago. It was America's Final War. This is what I said. The United States literally has nothing to fight for, real modern war, which is based not on bombing the crap out of some defenseless Iraq, but I'm talking about a real enemy who United States cannot sustain it. It doesn't have resources. It doesn't have industry. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't have competent military people.
Yep. But wait a minute. The Europeans, well, the non-Russian Europeans, they said that they're going to be coming to help America free the Straits of Hormuz now.
Yeah, French especially. Why don't we send all Marine Nationale and see how it performs. You know, Europe is it's basket case. I looked actually yesterday at the demography of Germany for the young people under age 22. It's either 50 or 50 plus percent, sometimes 62, depending on the federal lands in Germany, who are foreign origin. That means what? Muslim.
Yep.
So Germany is done. France is done. It's a third world country. Only morons believe in those pictures of Paris and what this. It's a third world country. Yep. Many people do not understand how poor French realistically are. And so they have those, you know, flashy things, you know, like... and so United Kingdom is a third world country now. I know this from firsthand. And so when you look at this, this is the end of the civilization. That is why they're so desperate. They bet the house on Ukraine, you know, with their help, you know, defeating Russia. They were given demonstration what's going to happen to Berlin or Rome. Not that Rome will suffer much. It's mostly rubble, you know, the rest of it.
Rome's nice. There's other things to bomb. You can take Milan or Naples. I know. Naples.
But yeah, Berlin, it's long overdue for stone rearrangements. And so they are terrorists. That's who they are. The only thing they know is UAVs. They don't have actual military force. They don't have industry. And now they will not have it. They are not having it already. We know that, for example, UK doesn't have not only steel industry anymore. It lost the last of its chemical industry. Germany is losing practically all of its chemical industry. Yep. And so when you look at that, so what's left? Well, they don't have this anymore since yesterday, but supply UAVs and do terrorist acts against Russia and Russian civilians in order to create, because they are morons, they think that Russian society will, you know, accuse Kremlin in their, you know what, not reacting properly. No, Kremlin reacts properly. This is the long haul war. And after it's all done, said and done, it will continue for years, this terrorist activity. So many people do not understand that it took Soviet Union and Red Army and KVD and then MGB, Ministry of the State Security, until 1956. They were cleaning up the Banderite underground, you know.
Well, so were, by the way, the Polish. The Polish military from the other side of the border was also cleaning up the Banderites for just as long, because they're
infested. What I'm saying is, it's a long haul. They will be supported by MI6, unless, of course, Russia makes Mr. Oreshnikov Zircon visit the MI6 headquarters. Then it's going to change. It's
been around those areas. They need a renovation. They really
renovate. Yeah. At this stage, as I already stated, I was making several videos, and this was a demonstration yesterday, and at this stage, probability of this happening grows exponentially now. So I was always saying that, oh, Europe, well, it's very low probability that Russia, then suddenly you look and say, I would say it's about 60 to 70% probability that Russia going to strike. Most likely the first will be Berlin, because Germany was essentially there. And as Sibim Dangelen told me, when we're talking about Boris Johnson, she said, oh, wait a minute, it wasn't just Boris Johnson and U.S. Biden administration who sabotaged 2022 Istanbul negotiations. Said actually the leader in that was Macron and France. Paris stinks with urine, it's dirty, and so, well, they might really renovate a little bit of their sewer system. So
just don't strike the Louvre. The Louvre's a nice museum.
No,
Louvre, everything else, no, you know, but, whatever.
No. Absolutely. When Louvre and some other places, but I mean, they don't even understand those jerks. That. But I wrote today, especially after the last night, that Europe has to be in the state of the constant chronic diarrhea from here. Russians don't care if they are liked anymore or not. They want Europe to be scared, pardon my French, shitless from the existence of Russia, and this is how they have to be paralyzed with fear. And they are becoming poor. They will be poor. They will be poor, scared, and impotent. And this is what...
Well, they're already impotent.
Yeah, and this was the stated goal of the special military operation in 2021 in the famous statement by the Russia's Minister of the Foreign Affairs.
I'll give the Europeans one thing. They are right in that what they're doing and what they're assisting the Ukrainians are doing is having the effect that the people are angry with the government. But they're not angry with the Russian people are angry with the government. They're not angry with the government because, oh, we should stop the war. They're angry with the government. Why these cities aren't burning and turning into rubble yet?
Exactly.
Do it already.
The anger, yeah, that's what it is. They don't understand that. You have to understand who those people are. You have their decades of the negative selection. If you look attentively at those people, be them nerds or be them whatever the queue or line of those imbeciles who are prime ministers of, now it's Starmer. You look at Ursula von der Leyen. First, they're Nazis. There are very many Nazis in there. You look at their intellectual core, they're imbeciles. They have no grasp of things because that's how they have been selected. You look at Macron, he's a, you know what, teller boy for Rothschilds, you know, so the guy doesn't understand what he's talking about. He loves to pretend that he's somehow important. He's not. He's nothing. I mean, empty space and empty suit. But that's what who they are. And that is why you cannot talk to them. And that is why, as I already stated, from the 24th of April, when the last statement of the Sergei Lavrov was, which was months, exactly months ago, when he stated that not only the prospects of cooperation, but coexistence have been thrown into oblivion. There is no coexistence between Russia and Europe anymore. And one of them has to go. Guess who it will be?
It's not going to be us.
Europe. It's not going to be Russia. And so, again, Russia will talk to the United States because of the, you know, the big guys, its superpowers, United States, however, declining, still has the nuclear weapons. It's kind of obsolete, but superpower nonetheless. And but Europe is irrelevant now. They, and especially after visit of Vladimir Putin and in meeting with Xi in China. Yeah. Power of Siberia is a goal. Full ball. What is power of Siberia too? What's power of Siberia too? Europe gets nothing. So let them. And if they go hungry, so they go hungry. Iron Curtain. And when Sergei Lavrov talks about that, it is Satanism which rules. That this is cannot get any higher. Satanic people, they are Satanists, pedophiles, they want to install everything. They want their full, free drugs. And I'm talking about hard drugs, marijuana, which in itself bad enough. They want to be pedophiles, all kinds of the perversions, sexual, whatever, let them. So, and you are absolutely correct. The only thing which will be a decisive factor will be if the GRU or GU and proper paratroop formations to get out the treasures of Louvre out in time before the France disintegrates. And most of them, first, they were emasculated, and most of them are beaten into the Sharia in best, you know, Sharia law zones. And that's what it's going to be. So that's who they are.
It's insane. You know, I was watching a video today. They're showing a summer camp in England for little British boys and girls. I mean, ethnically British. And they're being taught by an imam, without their parents' consent, obviously. I mean, you don't see a Christian priest coming into one of these telling them.
Look up, it's there 2 days ago. You can easily find it. The oath of the new mayor of Birmingham. He started with the Muslim prayer, and so just watch it. You will get the message. It's United Kingdom is over, it's done. So, and so is France. French being the arrogant, pompous assholes that they are, they will continue to deny it. But they are nobodies. They are poor, and they will be even more poor, you know. So, and yeah, they are cuckolds, you know. They will have no problems with their women being raped, and which is happening every day. So this is who they are. And now you have this. They elected twice this. Whatever the hell is this unit is, Macron and whatever that thing, whatever his wife, so-called.
Wife-husband thing.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, they elected it twice with the landslide, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They deserved it. And I have no any more sympathy to them. And after what I saw, and especially what they did to Starobielsk, and that's what they will be continue to do, killing children, women, raping, stealing, conducting sabotage. That's, and it's going to take some time. Unless, of course, yeah, and again, it was demonstrated just a little bit of touch on Kyiv, although the Oreshnik was visiting.
Today we had news that Macron called Batka. Lukashenko hasn't talked to him since 22, called him, and in a panic, don't you dare allow Oreshniks inside of Belarus.
Yeah, I mean, this boy, this pathetic, I don't even know, it's... Well, French deserved it. That's who they are. They elected him. This is what France is. This is who they are. This is what Europe is. Terrorists, animals, Satanists, perverts. That's Europe, period. And there's no redeeming qualities because nobody can come out there and say, you know what, let's say, imagine coup in the France, which they said the country is in danger of disintegration. You have the, you know, patriotic French officers, you know, going coup just to remove this thrash from. No, they are the same like that. They themselves are like that. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you've got to have a little sympathy for Macron, though. He is a child that was raped and manipulated by the thing that he's now married to, was grooming him. Even if it's a woman, it was grooming him since he was 14 or 13. Well, I mean, he's a molester child.
Come on, it is so French. Don't forget, 1977, the age of consent, published by the Le Monde and all French papers, by the signed by the greatest French intellectuals, this Jean-Paul Sartre, Derrida. Guess what was this age of consent thing?
Well,
that if the child is 5 years old, but she likes that you touch her, you are good to go. That's France. Pedophiles through and through. They always were. They're 1968. French so-called student revolution. It was led largely by the pedophiles. The fact which even British said, you know what? Read the Guardian. Yeah, it's so. Yeah, there you go. That's France.
And we get what we get today. Well, look at the Germans, though. I mean, they had a whole program where they took children, particularly orphan children, and they put them in the hands of pedophiles to quote race them. Actively knowing that they're pedophiles.
That's what Europe is. That's what decomposed, totally degenerate societies. And there are no redeeming qualities about them. They are so-called intellectual and artistic elites, downright criminals. They are essentially. And again, listen, again, we saw the opening of the Olympic Games in Paris. Many in France were like, oh my God, look how beautiful it is. This is what they deserve. These societies will disappear. They will either disappear on their own because they cannot procreate, obviously. And European women do not want to procreate. They are third wave feminists. You know, they are. Their husbands are cuckolds or completely emasculated. So, that's what it is. They will disappear or they will be annihilated by which Russia is ready to do. But it's all now a technical and tactical issue, how Russia may approach it, which is purely in military terms. It could be, you know, decapitation strikes, or it could be something which, again, you're absolutely correct. Let's not bomb Louvre, you know, so.
Well, you know what? and don't bomb Napoleon's grave. It's the mausoleum is nice.
Invalids, there are some things which worth preserving. And again, the best outcome for them it will be that the Europe will be reduced to nothing more than touristy destination with all those things, and they will be working agricultural and so yeah. And that's its plan, Morgenthau plan, I know, especially for Germany, which was rejected. And by the way, was rejected by the not only Eisenhower, by the Soviets themselves.
It was mass sterilization of Germans, total deindustrialization into an agrarian state.
Obviously famous Stalin's Hitler's common goal, German nation remains, and things of this nature. So, but at this stage, this is what is happening. They did it to themselves. So,
this is the propaganda. Oh, the Russians are coming. They're going to take us over. Or they're going to try to conquer us. I've got friends in Ireland. They're the Irish elites are trying to sell that. The Russians are going to swim across the sea to conquer Ireland. Why?
What for?
Why?
Listen, most Europeans, they're so brainwashed. They don't understand that Russia is beginning to live better than they are, including the best you are. They're probably not. Well, Switzerland also is not that good anymore, so very expensive and very, how to put it, but again, Switzerland is the size of one of the boroughs of Moscow.
Switzerland is literally the size of all of Switzerland is the size of Moscow province.
Well, it's I would say Yugazapad, south west part of Moscow, whatever the district of Moscow, that's about.
Oh, population wise, yeah, you're right. Yeah, land wise, is the size of Russia, the Moscow province.
They cannot explain. They still think that they're so great. They live in squalor and they stink and they're sewer. The Paris is a sewer. You see Brussels? It's just Jesus Christ. So they don't have any honor, they don't have any integrity. So they believe for some reason that. Russians want to live like no Russians live better. To live like that.
Why? But look. When that's the only thing you have left is your egoism and the memory of we were once an empire. Yeah, but that was a long time ago. My great great grandfather was in the empire, and you are.
Emasculated, downer, and you can do nothing. Yeah, there you go. They have some things left, which is of value, of course. If we talk about French still retain some Saint-Nazaire, large, significant shipbuilding capability, obviously Airbus with this consortium, right. Not just French. But you look at their weapons. Are you serious? I mean, you look at their technological approach to many things. Yeah, they built CERN, but guess what? Russians were participating and actually one of the largest contributors to CERN. Then, of course, Russians have been banned from CERN. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So you cannot deal with these people. No honor, no humanity, no integrity. And so that's how it would stay.
I mean, look, the European Union, one, they can't build a fifth generation fighter. The last consortium fell apart, the German-French. Everybody has to build like sixth generation by now. They're working on it. They can't even come up with a Yandex or a Google platform of their own. They have nothing as far as internet-based. I mean, they're at zero. They're either using somebody else's or they're not using anything. I mean, that's pretty low-level technology. I mean, as a European state, you should be able to at least provide your own search engines, your own
SML, platforms. Which is, of course, a former Philips. Essentially, ASML, which produces the lithography equipment, it's consortium, again, gigantic, including United States. Now they look at Russians produce their own lithography for now up to 65 nanometers. Then it goes to 28. Actually, the prototypes exist for the 14 already. So it's like, how did they do this? Well, it's difficult to explain because it has to be explained within the larger economic, social, cultural things which are happening. And it has all roots in the World War II. And again, Europe is the Fourth Reich. It's there, as Marx stated, history repeats itself, first as a tragedy, then as a farce. And I mean, sadly, it's still not farce, obviously, people dying and all that. But they managed to kill more than 2.5 of a whole of Ukrainians, then probably another 5 million wounded. So, and right now, different estimates, from 55 million population in 1992, Ukraine is now down to 19.
Yeah, 1920. Problem.
Yep. So, and, there you go. That's the result of European civilization.
the what I've been hearing from different people, the schools, by the time they get to 10th, 11th grade, there are no boys left because the parents are getting them out because they know that draft age is going to go down to 15. It's going to go down to 16 to 15. Eventually, it'll go down to 13 to 12. You're right. They're pushing women. The percentage of women on the front line as combat soldiers has gone up from 5% last year to 7.5% and growing this year. It's the last Ukrainian. And they are not, they don't have enough of a spine or a brain to rebel.
No, that's who they are.
Yeah.
That's who they are. Listen, I gotta go.
Yeah, understand. Andrei, a huge thank you. Thanks. Let me know when you're visiting Russia so we can meet up and have a couple of beers. Or if you have to suddenly run to Russia, my door is open. You never know these days. That's always
well, hopefully not, but we kind of got you. We have roots now in Pacific Northwest, and it's honestly very painful and sad to see what is happening in the country.
I believe I saw it myself. I mean, from the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, like, geez, it's a whole different country by that point.
Yep,
and not getting better. Andrei, thank you very much for joining. Everybody, thank you for joining. And buy some popcorn. There's a big show called, the Decline of Europe, amongst other things.
All right,
everybody.
Man.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.